Yep.
Okay.
So today is what, July 2nd?
July 2nd. It's Shelley's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Tuesday evening, July 2nd.
She's 57 today.
Well, you mean 45?
Well, you know what? As far as any of us are concerned, well, not probably, but the rest of us, that's pretty young.
Yeah,
no, sounds pretty young to me.
Yeah.
What are we at? Oh, yeah.
I didn't mean to give your age away, Shelley.
It's in Facebook.
I'm glad for one to know how old she is.
Yeah. Well, Facebook it says today Shelley's birthday. She's 57. So it's no secret.
Yeah. Before we went on air, we were talking about retirement, you know, and how that's just not the scriptural pattern.
No.
And there is a scripture that speaks to that. You know, there was the farmer who he decided he'd tear down his barns and build bigger ones, and then he was just going to sit back and drink and be merry or whatever, however the Bible says it, you know. And then the Lord says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee."
Mm-hmm. You
know? So that's, to the extent that the Bible speaks to it, it's
no,
that's not a good idea.
And you know what? I don't want to sit back and not do something.
No, right.
You know?
Now, I can certainly understand you're wanting to go and do something besides tile work, you know, at some point along the line. But
no, even if it's something, you know, for the Lord or whatever, if I don't get paid to minister, I would. You know, when my kids leave the house, I could live for, you know, a lot less, so I don't have to make as much. You know what I mean? That's for once.
Well, it's a funny system that we have today in the churches, because a lot of churches are set up so that for the pastor to retire with the pension. They're set up that way. And it's like, who figured that one out? How'd they come up with that, you know? It'd be nice to have, I suppose, to have the pension, but they don't. Of course, for the most part, the pastor's position is not spiritual anyway.
Right.
You know, it's just a.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of churches, you know, it's altogether different deal, but they want some young fella in there who's got all gung-ho or, you know, whatever. He's a lot of energy. They have programs and all that stuff. And that's, we're just not on that track.
Yeah.
That's not what we're about. That's not.
When I was, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit of the Lutheran Church in Seattle, it was, back here we have the,
look over to Chuck's spot here, so I can look at Ken and make sure he's doing things right.
But anyway, it's backwards when you get to Seattle. It's a different Siddha type thing. And what happens is the pastors from that organization are given a message. And they every week they preach the same message in whatever church they're in.
Well,
so they get the same information, see. So if you go and visit another church, then you get the same message, supposedly.
That's unity through copying.
Yeah. And anyway, as Pastor Larson, he would have me preach when he was gone. And you know what? People were upset. They would get upset. And it only happened two or three times, you know. But he didn't have anybody else in there that had enough interest in the things of the Lord to preach. And he was a sweetheart. What a shame. Because of him, I went down to hear the Campus Crusade for Christ and hear Herbert Maroon. And, you know, because that's what he asked me to do it. He was kind of like, what was the guy that went to Jesus by night?
Nicodemus?
Nicodemus. And he said, he told me that. He said, you know, would you go down? And he said, I'm interested in what's going on. But he said, I don't want to be seen down there. And when Herbert Murrood, who was a Lutheran evangelist and filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, would you go down and hear him? He said, I wouldn't know what's going on, but I don't want to be I don't want to be seen down there. See, Nicodemus. And so, anyway, so we prayed with him for I don't know how many times to get filled with the Holy Spirit. But his wife, Louise, well, she said, we're Lutherans. We don't speak in tongues. We don't do these things. If you want to be a Pentecostal, go to the Pentecostal church. You know? And, oh, she got upset.
Oh, my. What a fix, huh?
Yeah. Well, and like I said, when I get as it gets the day goes on, I find my speech slurring a little bit, and so anybody hearing it, I understand it, and I think everybody here understands it, and it's just old age and tiredness and whatever else, but that doesn't mean that God is not doing a phenomenal thing, and you know, last week or I don't remember when it was, we were talking about 1 Timothy 3:16, where it says, "Great is or without controversy, without argument, great is the mystery of godliness." And great is the mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. What does that mean? It means lots of luck if you're trying to figure it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so we've kind of, I mean, I've been there too. We've kind of looked at this thing and tried to think, well, you know, we're kind of understanding it. And I realize that we're not. You know, we've got, well, I watched something the other day on TV. And there was a fellow that was given the explanation for the Milky Way and how it came about. And he was a scientist, and he said one day he was sitting there and he realized how it all happened. And I thought, how wonderful that guy is. How intelligent he is to understand the makeup of the Milky Way. And he had some diagrams and he was explaining it. And I thought, you know, first off, considering the fact that God created it all, he's out in left field anyway. I mean, he has no possible way of understanding that. And there's no way that we can come to the realization of who God is, or what he is, or how he is, or how great he is. We can't do it, because the makeup of God is so far beyond our understanding. You know, we can't understand it. Great, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And you know what? That's not even saying that Christ was God.
It was just manifested. It was just a manifestation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God was manifested in the flesh.
Yeah. He manifested the burning bush, too.
Right. He was manifested.
God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. You know what I mean? So we have the scriptures that tell us stuff like that. And I realize that, you know, we have been trying to figure this out in a way. And it's impossible.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. And
you don't figure out mysteries naturally.
No.
You don't do that.
No.
Now, I do think that the day may come. There's some mysteries will become unraveled through the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know? That.
Right. You know, are you done? I mean, yep.
Yeah.
And then the other scripture that Paul says about, it seems like he's speaking about heaven. He said, you know, nobody knows the things that God has prepared for us. They haven't even entered into the mind and into the hearts of man. You're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem like he's speaking about the afterlife, right? But why not also for this life? It doesn't really specify.
Yeah.
But that's not the end of it. All these amazing things of God haven't even entered the heart. However, he says, but they are still revealed to some of us. You know what I mean? So it's a mystery, but it's because of what you were saying. Mm-hmm. That mystery is revealed to some of us. You know what I mean?
Not by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it is the mystery of God, but we still get a little glimpses. And God will always, I think, at least for in this life, there will be mysteries. Maybe forever there will be mysteries. And
Maybe not. But it might all be laid out before us.
But it seems...
Some kind of way.
And this is how this is just my cardinal thinking of how I would want to see it. Not that how I think it would be, but God is so great that you want to discover more of God every day. Every time you see Him, you want to see something new and more and greater. And I think that would be amazing. Not that every day, every time, every second that you are with God, He reveals Himself more and then more and then more. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That would be a great heaven. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But maybe not. That's just my Pablo way of.
Well, it would be great.
Yeah.
His way seems to be that we know what we need to know at the time.
Right.
You know, he's not going to be revealing for no reason, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we need to know for that time.
I'm reading that setting. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, : then it lists. Is that the answer to it? What follows? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Is that the answer to the mystery?
No. Mm-hmm.
Right?
But certainly.
Not that we understand all of that, but in that, I mean, it kind of seems that way, the way he puts it here.
What is that scripture?
3:16, 1 Timothy.
1 Timothy 3:15.
16.
3:16.
Okay. Yeah, read it once and just see. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, without controversy.
Great is the mystery of godliness, and then it has a colon, and then it's like, and here's the answer. Here's the answer to the mystery. Because everybody doesn't. It is a the fact that God was manifested in the flesh is a mystery to a lot of people.
Right.
Still.
Right.
You know.
But it's not saying that Jesus was God.
No. 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 Because you know what? I was reading in while you're looking there, Shelley, 1 Peter, and it says, "Let's see now. Where is it?" Knowing that you were redeemed with corruptible things, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as you know, we were talking the other night, Sunday, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we had mentioned that, you know, part of the humanity was the fact that, you know, he was shown as a lamb. And it shows him still as a man, as a lamb in Revelation, mm-hmm. you know. But, let's see, where is this setting that I was looking for that says... that you have purified your souls. Oh, okay. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Isn't that what we're doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Purifying your souls, obeying the truth of the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And then it, then there's the scripture about being born not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. So
we're on that track anyway, I think.
Yeah, but the fact that, so God was manifest in Christ when Christ was manifested mm-hmm. in the flesh, or, you know, in the world, when he came into the world.
Yeah, and it says in 2 Corinthians 5, I think, it says that that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself.
Yeah.
And so...
so is that wasn't he being manifested in the flesh?
Yeah. Well, if he was expressed image of the invisible God.
God was in him.
That's
reconciling.
Like him. Manifesting in the flesh.
A lot of people don't know that all those scriptures that we're getting, so we can fit them in with it. You know what I mean?
Right. It gives it substance.
Yeah.
Foundation. So God can manifest himself through any one of us too. That doesn't make us bad. Going back to 1 Timothy 3:16, I am looking right now in the eight parallel versions here, eight translations here, and each one of them puts that colon in there, in that place.
Yeah.
And all of them say kind of basically the same thing as the King James, or New King James there. There is one, though, the Message Bible, and the Message Bible is, you know, it's loose. Sometimes it's really good, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says, this Christian life is a great mystery, far exceeding our understanding. But some things are clear enough. And then, he appeared in a human body. You know, it goes through the... says, some things are clear enough. Whether that's a correct way of looking at that, I don't know. It sort of supports what you were saying. Yeah, great is the mystery of godliness, but there were these things that unravels the...
Yeah, when it end, if it was making that statement, it would end there with a period.
Right. That's right.
You know, but it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of says,
it starts giving what could be
in context,
construed as an answer to this mystery.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, we don't have all of that necessarily to the full understanding yet. But
no, that's right.
But you know what, though? Everything that we need to know to put this together is in here.
Yeah.
It's right in the Bible.
Yeah.
Whatever God wants us to know.
With the flashlight of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah.
And, it takes the Holy Spirit to unwind it, but it's all in there.
I remember reading that setting years ago, you know. I mean, after we'd started listening, but reading it and going, yeah? Just accepting, yeah? But then, you know, through the years, then I heard other little scriptures that kind of said, yes, it's a mystery to those who don't believe.
Right.
You know? Or it will be revealed more and more to those who believe,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you continue, you know. So, and there's quite a few more references like that. That's why you know, it's funny. If you're going to say that nothing's impossible with God, then why do you keep using words like impossible?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
because
that's our humanity.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing.
I'm going to have to write that down and then send you that in the mail every once in a while.
Yeah, right.
I send it to everybody.
It has to be. It has to be that if it is a mystery, it is strictly a mystery in the natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're right. There's nothing that can't be revealed by
God. Yeah, if he wants to reveal it, you know.
He can.
See,
but it would be a mystery. You know, we sure aren't going to sort it out by our...
Right. To us believers, that mystery... See, for an unbeliever, the mystery is a burden, actually. It's like, it's a mystery. I can figure out... But to us, that mystery is just peace. It's just fine. You know what I mean? We are good with not knowing everything. We are good with mystery. We are content, satisfied, happy, blessed with God being a mystery. That's the difference.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean?
That's good.
Yeah, that is good. I have never... Yeah. I guess I have felt what you've just said here, Pablo, but I've never heard it laid out like that. But it's true. It's true. I love mysteries. Or whatever, you know. Or the not, you know. I love that stuff.
Yeah. That's actually the definition of faith.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. It's, you know. It's,
yeah.
And when we can allow ourselves to be in the place where we don't have to know. That's a victory.
Right.
Yes.
It is.
That's maturity.
And I think we're getting a revelation of that very thing here.
Yeah. We lately, I said, and the other thing that has really hit me lately is the fact that we're getting less and less offended, myself included. And because if I get the idea that I really got the answers and you guys don't agree with me, I can get offended. You know what I mean? But one day I come to the realization, you know what? I really don't know. Why should I be offended when I think I know something that I really don't know anyway?
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Hey. Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, and you know, I've noticed in settings, like in Acts and whatnot, and sometimes we're making something way more mysterious than it's meant to be. I mean, salvation, that's the main goal. I mean, and it says, if you believe that Jesus Christ was born, was crucified, buried, resurrected, basically, that's the biggest mystery of God to the world.
Yeah.
And if you have that, you know, you're that's the solid foundation of your faith. That is the foundation of your faith. You know, now obviously you have to keep going on in it. But, you know, it's Paul repeats it a lot of times. And this is, you know, that Christ, and he'll name those, you know, the whole little thing about resurrection and everything. If you believe in that, you know.
I wonder what that word believe means, though. Is it giving mental assent that this occurred? Or is believing somehow or other having the knowledge of it kind of knit in our being or something? You know?
Well, I think in believing it, you have to realize that why did he die and why for your sins. So you need to believe it to repent to be free of your sins.
Yeah.
You know, to be set or made free.
Yeah. Now it obviously calls for something more than mouthing those words, though.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I wonder what. You know,
I've asked the same question when I was, I don't know, in third grade. I remember there was these two like Jewish girls and whatever, and I don't know what the setting was, but it's like, you know, yeah, they don't believe in Jesus, somebody said. And I was like shocked. I was shocked for days. And I wasn't even super spiritual. I was just a kid. I asked her, and she never answered me. But I was like, you don't believe that he existed? Or you don't believe that what he said? I don't know that she even answered me. But yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, what does to believe mean? That, you know.
Yeah, I'm posing the question. I don't know if I really truly do have a full answer of what is fully encompassed by believing. I've been doing this stuff for 40 years, so I guess I probably believe.
If you believe in Jesus, you will believe what he said and know that that's true. So if you believe Jesus says, "Hey, you know, Father," you know, and you will believe what he says and do it. You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
You know.
Uh huh. It is giving it the
I mean, actually, to believe in Jesus is not just like to believe in him is to obey, to understand, to know his word. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can believe in what somebody told you about Jesus. See, you know, we believe because of the word of the good woman, but now we believe because of we see.
Yeah. Him. So, okay. That was
It's like
I guess what I'm reacting to is this business of, well, okay, you're saved now because you just made the confession here that you believe. You know, you ran through. Now the jailer certainly remember the jailer that was going to kill. You know.
Right.
He kind of made that confession, and then he was good at that point. You know, after that.
But see, again, with the Bible, there's several scriptures, definitely more than one or two. Like, well, to be saved, da 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 da. But there's more than that that will say, unless you blah blah blah, you're not saved. Mm. You know what I mean?
They're a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like there's a little theme in Peter here that, I'll read this one little setting first. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Well, what word is that? You know. So if you back up, where I read, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
Uh-huh.
Because, and it says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you.
Yeah. And maybe that thing has to live and endure forever within us, in a way.
Yeah. If you're just satisfied, then you don't care if the word lives forever.
Yeah, right.
You think you're done, you're good, or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But if you really believe, then you want that word living in you, and you know.
I believe that believing involves something along that's maybe a good way of expressing it. Having that word alive
that lives forever.
Yeah, right.
You know,
uh-huh.
So it's not just a.
Yeah.
One and done type satisfaction here in this world.
Okay. Well, maybe that.
Plus, you know, once you believe, then you're looking to God all the time for what he wants done, for who he, that, you know, you start looking, who is this God that has just saved me?
You put some feet to this belief. You
yeah.
Know? Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then, you know, and Peter, it goes on, and eventually where you want to get, you also, as because you, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So that takes more than just acknowledging who
yes.
He is. You know?
Yeah. Yes, that it certainly does. If you're going to be a lively stone,
yeah. But the way you put that, that was a good way to put it for a question, though. You know.
Right.
What does it really mean to just believe? You know, it isn't necessarily real. I mean, I said we make it more, but in a way. It isn't real simple, necessarily.
Well, Well, the thing I hate, is making this deal a transaction, you know?
Yeah.
You respond, you know?
Yeah,
you open,
right,
you know.
Right.
No. It's,
you know, like, oh, now the contract's fulfilled.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, you're good. Whatever.
It's funny, though. If you have a sincere born-again experience... where you know that you are a sinner and then he forgives you.
Yeah.
I don't know you don't stop there.
No,
that just gets you on the road of excitement of who and what is this all about.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it did for me.
Yeah, and it should for everybody.
Yeah, if it's sincere,
but
it should.
You know what? But it doesn't. It doesn't.
I mean, hunger, you know, is put there.
You know, we can't expect to be attacked by the devil. And for some, that attack is successful.
Yeah.
You know, the birds of the air come and...
For most, it's successful.
Yeah.
And most people are destroyed by the enemy. That's why Peter said, be sober and be vigilant. Stay sober and vigilant. And that's not even not drinking. It's just, you know, be sober in your outlook and your attitude. And vigilant. Be watching. Be watching for him. And I have had some experiences. You know, I've had some dreams that I knew were from God. And every so often I'll have a dream that I know is from the devil. I've had a couple of them. And because it's not even lining up with anything that's me. It's an attempt to get me sidetracked. And but you know what? Half of the battle is recognizing where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. But it's not just the Word of God, it's the Word of God's truth.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't realize. You know what? What happens as you listen and you listen and you listen to the Scripture? Okay, so you hear the Scripture and you don't have the correct interpretation. That doesn't matter. You just keep listening to the Scripture. And the Old Testament or the New. But the new one is a declaration. And with the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives us, where the Old Testament it just boggles you down, you know, it's so hard to put it together. I was reading about Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and Melchizedek today. You know, I got an interest in it. And I was reading about it. And I thought. When Lot moved and pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't think it was that bad of a place. But what we don't see is that time has lapsed. Time has gone by, and all of a sudden, just like America, you know, one day, now they're accepting the gay lifestyle, and so. Ellen DeGenerate is a popular individual, and people that are straight people are watching it. They're slowly being sucked into this thing. And one of the reasons that people don't want Trump in for another term is because they want to be able to get into these lifestyles where everybody is happy with what they are, you know. In other words,
where we can accept some of these things, and he doesn't promote them or so there. But anyway, that's quite a picture of about the 14th chapter of Genesis, where you know, I was reading the it says that that after the slaughter of the kings, you heard of that term.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham, well, he wouldn't have touched it, but a number of kings came in and they attacked and took people and goods from Sodom and Gomorrah. And so there were a number of kings, half a dozen of them.
Seven or eight or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and so Abraham takes his herd with him, 318. And he goes and he slaughters them. Pretty strong fellow, isn't he?
Pretty good soldier.
God does the work, and Abraham, and you know, he hits. If it wouldn't been that if they hadn't taken Lot, he probably wouldn't have gone. But because they took his nephew, now he's. You know, he's upset, so he goes and he goes after these kings and he slaughters them. And it says after the slaughter of the kings, and then here's Melchizedek, the king of Salem, king of peace. And that was without father or mother, without beginning, and you know, here he is, the great high priest. And Abraham gives him a tenth of the spoil. And it's like, is that hard to believe? Are you following me? Can you see how people can read all this and say, you know what, how can you believe all this? How can you believe it? That is hard to believe. But after a while, you listen to the scriptures, you start believing it. You start accepting it. It starts becoming a part of your system. Because God has made it so it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you're right. So God faith, facilitates whatever has to be done.
So faith, that's why it says in Psalms 19:7, it says, the word of God is perfect. It is perfect. This is truth. What we read right in through here with Sodom and Gomorrah and whatever happened, that is truth. But you know what? How many people read it and don't believe it?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have I read stuff and didn't believe it?
I guess I'm saying what's obvious, but the focus on truth, it's new for us.
It's new for me, yeah.
And it's got a big, you know, it's a,
yes.
it's a big
yeah.
deal. It's
Yeah, it's a big deal.
You know, but it's new. I mean, false or you know whatever. But we just didn't have that focus.
But the Bible is full of it.
Right. Yes, it is. That's right. Yes, it is full of it.
I want to read a passage that's been on my mind for a couple of days. And I think I read it Sunday morning, maybe. It says in Galatians, the third chapter. It says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law was our schoolmaster, our teacher, to bring us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. So, anyway, and when Christ came into the picture, he came in with faith. See, the law was given by Moses, but
grace
and truth. Mm-hmm. Is that what it says?
Yeah,
grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Uh-huh.
And so that's almost like a differentiation made there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's a separation.
That is funny to distinguish the law on the one hand and truth on the other.
Yeah, the law on one hand and grace and truth. Is that what it says?
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, that kind of makes sense, though, because the law showed you that you were a sinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the law, it says the law was a schoolmaster.
Right.
To bring us to Christ. Right.
A teacher.
Jesus
told the Jews, he says, you say you believe Moses, but Moses spoke about me. See, the law was to bring people to Christ.
Yeah.
And then you need the faith to believe that he is the one that will satisfy the redemption of your sins.
And so the thing is, here we are. We're listening to the scripture. I've been listening pretty steady for close to 20 years. And what has it done? It has caused a faith substance to develop in me. And where it says that by faith we understand, and without faith it is impossible to please God, but by faith we understand. And by faith we understand, or through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. And the thing is, here's this guy explaining the Milky Way. He didn't understand a thing he's saying.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so through faith, I understand something. Oh, let me read three of the most powerful words that exist. You want to hear them?
I'm interested.
Yeah.
In the beginning, God.
No.
Okay. All right.
Here they are. The three words. Let there be.
Yeah.
Let there be. Huh?
Let there be. Let there be. Lights a different bit. There they are. Let there be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? That's the word of God in power.
Mm-hmm.
God said, let there be. And you know what? Where did he come from?
All right. You know, you think about it, to say let there be is a very humbling way of creating things.
Yeah.
And, you couldn't be any more humble than let it be. Let it be light. So I mean, now, here it is, light. Let it be.
They're showing a picture of the sun and the size of the earth in comparison.
Yeah.
It's just a speck.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like, and that's us.
Yeah.
And here's this great universe, this thing, and God's going to wrap it up, burn it up, get rid of it, and put in a new one.
Right.
I don't know anybody could do that. I know a lot of good, strong people, but I don't know anybody that could do that.
You know what? The last couple of days, Candy's been dealing with some minor things, nothing personal, but just minor things. Felicity and the kids, nothing worrisome. But there's a lot of input and a lot of different views on things, how things should work out. I'm going to tell Candy, look at it. You can look at it through God's eyes or through the earth's eyes. You know what I mean? So you're getting too much earthly input from people. It's like, forget about that. But when you have a discussion of what should be done in politics or how were things done or in to make a decision on anything, well, I think this is best. Or I think this is well. Why don't you look at it through spiritual, look at it through God, you know. So sometimes you can't have an argument with people in an earthly argument because you either look at it through God,
mm-hmm.
and then you would agree. But if you are looking at it through all these little things, even with science or whatever, you know,
there is so much foolishness.
Right.
And it's the natural is 90% of this foolishness.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Man, that's humbling. 90%, I mean, a lot more.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. 90%. It might be something more than 90%.
Right. I was
earlier when we were talking about God and how big he is, and one of the things, you know, I realized going through the Old Testament and everything, and people, you know, will say, well, I'm not going to be subject to something I don't even know. Does, you know, you can't see it or whatever. I'm taking care of my... You know what? God's influencing that in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't realize they're not doing what they think they should be doing. They're doing what God wants them to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it. That's the one thing that has occurred that to me is like, you don't realize how much influence God has in your life, and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, and it's not for good, mm-hmm. which is the sad part, you know. Because if you continue that way, if he knows you, in his mind, he knows whether he's already written you off or not, but you don't, and we don't. But, you know, it's amazing because.
Yeah.
He just didn't.
Yeah, that case against God is pretty.
Right. No, even I hate bringing up the homosexuality, but it's just a big subject these days. But when people discuss, you know, homosexual subjects of how the world should be and with different rules and acceptance and whatever, like, okay, well, you can look at it through the human way or through the God way. You know what I mean? So if you're going to look at it through the human way, you're going to be arguing forever. You know, so are we going to do this through the way of God or not? If it's through the ways of God, you know, it's simple. But, you know, the world as of right now, at least, is very removed from the things of God. At least the what you hear the most about, you know, maybe the godly people, you don't hear. It's not a loud voice, maybe, but what you do hear about or what was going on is very godless.
Yeah.
Very godless.
You know, the thing that I realized, I used to say, you know, well, I was born this way.
Yeah.
To be the homosexual. And I just, you know, I wouldn't accept that. But since seeing the Word, in a certain respect, it's true, except that God let you become that because he knew you wouldn't accept him.
Right.
So it's a curse,
mm-hmm.
you know. Now, they could go, well, see, then what can, well, yeah, you can go that route, and you're going to be doomed either way, you know. Whether you think you, or what, or you go, I don't have a choice, well, yeah, but you do. He says, I gave them over to a reprobate mind because they refused me. They didn't want to know me. They didn't,
but
you know.
All these things, you know, think about it, you know, bisexual, homosexual, bisexual, homosexual. It's not, again, I said it, it's not about love, it's about sex still. And sex is something that is basically, is that God wants you to wait until you're married, basically. And so all these tendencies, regardless if you are with a man, I mean, homosexual or not homosexual, is still wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I said that, too. Yeah, fornication is just as big a sin as homosexuality.
Yeah.
You know, although, well, God, yeah, he pretty well makes statements on both of them really strong, you know. But the one that, you know, he gives a definition there in Romans about what brings you to the place of being a homosexual, and it's, you know, it's pretty sad.
Well, what is it referring
to? Well, because it says
it's just
because
refusing the order set God set up.
Yeah, yeah, and they chose not to. Da da da.
Yeah.
It's. I think it's in pretty much first or second.
Yeah. I think it's Romans 2 or something.
Yeah, Romans 2.
Early.
Read Romans. It sometime. And,
yeah. I'm sure. I'm
sure you have.
Yeah. Which one specifically you are.
But then, you know, then there's other places where it's, you know, he's always talking about, well, you lay with the harlot, you become one with the harlot. Mm-hmm. You know, and So, and see, that's the thing. When God, that is a mystery, it says also, of the church. When it, and it says, because God said, when a man and a woman become one. So, that's the same type for us with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming one body with Him, you know. And that's a pretty powerful thing, that becoming one. And I don't think we have the full understanding of that either.
You know.
With a man and a wife.
Yes.
You know.
And in the, all these times that Jesus speaks about Him with the Father and the we are one and all that. But when we get married, He says, you become one flesh.
Yeah.
How is that?
Yeah.
I mean.
So it's pretty important to God that you don't mess with it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to get married, of course.
No.
But then you can't go out and fornicate and be a homosexual
or point
whatever.
The point I was making actually was like Candy and I, for example, are one flesh. I mean, it's not even one spirit or one, who knows, one spirit. One flesh. It's like, we are one somehow, you know. But just like that, which is hard to understand, because no, I'm two. I mean, she's Candy, I'm Pablo. She's a woman. I'm a man. I'm over here. She's over there. One flesh. So, however, with God, we are one at the same time. It's like, well, God's over there. I'm over here, and God is spirit. I'm a spirit.
Yeah. I do think it is heavily contested by the enemy.
Yeah.
Oh, because of the significance.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, heavily contested.
Yeah.
You know.
And for sure, he is jealous.
Right.
And he missed out on it.
At the same time, you know, when he says, you know, when you are married
it away.
Before God, you're one flesh. And then, in a separate instance, he says, that the wife is covered by the husband, if the husband is a believer and the wife is not, somehow like you both go to heaven, kind of have their life.
Yeah, or
that's what it's hinting. I don't know.
Let your children be unclean.
Right. Yeah, and I think it does it the other way too, with the woman being saved and the man not.
Yeah, both. I think it
says if you agree to live with one another, then your children are not.
It says unclean.
Unclean or something.
Right, which is funny way of expressing it, but I guess
It kind of, that's like a piggyback ride for one or the other, like the husband or the wife.
Kind of,
yeah. You know.
Now, whether it's a piggyback ride will take you to heaven is another question, I suppose. But suggest that, but it doesn't say it.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's, in that case, I think it's referring more to making your children holy, or not holy, but acceptable, you know.
Well, it says, actually, I think what it says is like the husband, the wife is sanctified by the husband. If the husband,
I guess it does say that.
The word says sanctified.
And that certainly suggests shape.
That's right.
Yeah. But that is the way it's expressed.
You know, I don't even want to worry about it because as they apply to me, it's
I mean, I think it's interesting when God, right away in Genesis there, when Adam and Eve fell, He says, you know, the woman, well, you will, first of all, you're kind of going to be cursed because you're going to have labor when you have children. If there hadn't been the fall, that probably wouldn't have been so. And then it says, but you will be saved by bearing children and something else.
Or does it say that in Genesis?
Maybe Paul says that.
Later on.
Maybe Paul says that part.
All right. There's, it's going to obey the husband somehow or other. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
That the wife is going to be obeying the
subject
husband.
Subject to her husband.
Right. Subject. Yeah. I guess that's how it's expressed. Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Can you imagine preaching that right now?
Ooh.
No.
It'll all have to be dealt with, though, sooner or later, for believers.
In the first chapter of Romans, in verse 25, and then
This is the emphasis point. If they change the truth of God into a lie. That's the focal point. We got other verses around it that say other things here, but and then it says, and for this cause, because they changed the truth of God into a lie. I mean, that is the foundation of the rest of these verses. For this cause, God gave them up unto the
over to a reprobate mind.
Gave them up unto vile affections.
Oh.
For even the women did change their natural use into that which, I don't know, I can't read it. But,
you need the light on?
No.
Well,
but anyway, yeah, that really does help.
It was starting to get a little dark over there. That's why.
And likewise also the men. Now, God, see, for this cause, God is behind it.
Right.
And that's what you were saying. Yeah. So we look at it, we say, those evil people. Well, they are evil, but the big issue is that they change the truth of God into a lie.
And so he said, if you want to lie, then this is what I'm going to cause to happen.
Yeah. And so, so what we need then, to be saved, see, because they received out of love for the truth, we need that love for the truth. Because that is the key. Then the other key, and what we are doing, the key is to you listen to this 24 hours a day, move it up to 25. You can't, but you know what I mean? Just listen and listen and listen and listen, because what happens by listening to the Word of God, it causes faith to come, so that you do understand by faith. You understand through faith. My understanding, you know, how do you understand God? That's what I was trying to say. Great is the mystery of godliness. Without controversy, there's no argument over it. It's a great mystery. And so here we are. Jesus says, God is spirit. Okay, you know what? Do you understand that? We're beginning to get a glimpse of it. I'm beginning to see the awesomeness of a creator who is everywhere that any of the stars and anything he's created is. He covers heaven and earth. I can't understand it, but I'm beginning to believe that. Because that's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere where he is not. Even in the lowest hell. God is everywhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, it becomes something inside of you, and he gets bigger and bigger and bigger and further and closer, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He becomes everything that there is. And that's what's beginning to happen. And a few times here, I can feel such a closeness, and I'm thinking that he's going to appear.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But he didn't. I didn't hear his voice or anything, but... Not only that one time. But I tell you what, I want to go to heaven.
Mm.
I don't want to miss it. And whatever he has to put me through to do it, I want him to do it, and I don't want to miss it. And but a lot of people are. There'll be a lot of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So what does that do? It does something to us. Especially you guys and me. You know, it's like I'm coming to the thought pattern that maybe in the next life
we're not going to be a lot different than we are right now. When this mortal shall put on immortality.
Right. I mean, the movie, it speaks about it, like it would look similar to this. So I wouldn't...
Well, we can recognize somehow.
Right. So I don't know, I can't imagine why would it be different. I mean, there's going to be streets, so somehow we're going to get along. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of difference.
Well, the flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. So it's not going to be exactly like this, but I think it's going to be similar.
It's got to be, because Jesus, however he left, he's just like that, he's coming back, he says.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's got to be somewhat.
I think like we're going to be something like we are.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the book of Revelation describes what Jesus is like. And his hair is white, and there's a visit, you know, there's just this glow. So that sounds like a glorified Christ. So we too might have something, I mean, recognizable, mm-hmm. but still.
Well, we're not going to be flesh and blood, but we're going
to be. No, it'll, you know, it's just as Jesus that walked along the Sea of Galilee is to the Jesus we read about in Revelation, so we that walk around will be, maybe, you know, what do I know, but.
Well, I don't know, and that's not anything to build any doctrine on. I'm just saying, as I see what the scriptures have to say, I'm not so sure that we're going to look up or we're going to be a lot different, except it will be immortal.
Yeah.
This mortal will put on the immortality, as it says.
Somehow you'll have a different makeup because...
Yeah, well, it'll be different, but...
Because it says you won't be, like... couples in marriage or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, something will be different.
Right. Yes.
There,
right.
I think there is some essentials that will be recognizable.
There is times when I thought, you'll just be like in glory with everyone because they're all your brothers and sisters now in the Lord. You're all one body.
It'll be a better environment. Well,
yeah.
What a wonderful place.
It'll be so glorious. I mean, because you'll be seeing the goodness of every person because they're there.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
You know, and in my humanness, I go, yeah, I wonder if I can start asking Paul some of these questions. There's probably a billion people when I ask Paul stuff. And Peter, and, you know.
You know what?
In Christ.
It says we will know as we are known. So I think what's going to happen is just maybe in an instant of time, we won't even want to ask.
All right. You know what? In an instant of time, we may know it all.
Yeah.
So you won't have to ask.
Hey, maybe Paul and Peter are going to want to ask you a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny.
Maybe we'll have to. You're right.
There is one blessing that is greater than them, and that's Jesus's. But blessed are the ones who have not seen and believe.
Right.
Uh-huh. So it's all on faith.
Yeah.
And
we may be involved in a glorious ministry that will put the book of Acts to in very secondary.
Yeah. Deal. You don't know.
You know? Okay, well, and so, you know, and so Peter and Paul, they really may want to find out stuff from us. You know,
right? Right. It's a second generation.
Peter might walk up to you again and say, how did you ever do it?
Right. How did you ever believe? How would you ever be able to believe?
I don't know. Their environment is pretty close to
I think. Remember what Peter said? He said on the day of Pentecost, he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I thought, if there's ever been an untoward generation, it's right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
There'll be a long line of disciples taking number to us.
Right. You know, but in a sense, it's true that as the world is, it's degenerating. It says it is. So obviously, yeah, it's probably harder to walk in a sense because sin is more prevalent in a way that, you know. then maybe more so then. I don't know.
But,
you know,
if that scripture is if we're getting that right, the one that says he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. If we understand that, if that's really the picture, then God is going to do something phenomenal in the end.
Yeah.
And I tell you, one thing that we got to be really careful about, and I've noticed that in a couple of our meetings, we got to get rid of the idea that we are in some kind of an elite thing.
Yeah, we discussed that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of us.
Yeah.
There's
around
a lot
the
of
world.
Us. There's
around
a lot of other people that are doing just what you're doing. You can't see them, but there are people in China. There are people in you know. And I tell you what, if anybody has a hard road to hoe, it's a Chinese.
Oh yes, my yes.
Yeah. There and then, not so easy in the Islamic nations
right.
either.
Yeah, they are
nowadays.
Right. Uh-huh. And there are Christians there. And,
yeah.
You know.
So while we're here with the Bibles on, nobody's stopping us. There are people who would give anything to do what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what Smith Wigglesworth would have done with a CD player?
What's a CD?
I noticed, and I'm going to probably have to make sure it works, but I thought, I have to keep at least one boom-type box around with a cassette in it still.
Yeah, how come?
Well, just because there's some cassettes that I might want to listen to yet.
With what in it?
Music.
Oh, music.
Yeah. Or something, you know.
What music from where? Like, what songs?
Oh, I don't know. I just know there's some that were kind of, they weren't established with any particular, you know, that were just edifying.
What I'm trying to get at, can you buy them on a CD?
Oh, I don't know. Some are pretty old. There's one in particular that if I find it, remember we were talking about praying in the Holy Spirit? Praying in the Holy Ghost or whatever, and there was a guy that was singing that. That was what he was ministering in song. That's what we needed to be doing. And this guy is from 30, 40 years ago.
From Community Chapel?
No, no.
Oh.
No, I don't even.
Although there were some glorious things going on.
Yeah, there were.
Community Chapel.
Yeah.
You know, Kendi's got all the songs from Community Chapel in a little thingy.
Yeah.
And, you know,
no, some of the ones I'm thinking about aren't related to
the chapel. She has them on a stick.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's got to be, I don't know, hundreds.
There was
for a time, and I don't, you know, well, I don't know. I guess I find it edifying. Yeah. Maybe I want a copy of that stick.
No, and there's so many. I don't think you could listen to it. Oh, there's so many.
I've been a little hesitant to major in what happened, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, but a lot of them were before that were built, that were really glorious.
I'll get you a stick. I got it in the computer someplace.
Yeah.
I got some sticks.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of musing now, so maybe we'll shut this down for a minute. Those of you.
I hope, Shelby, at your old age, you didn't fall asleep listening to all this.
Oh, you're wicked.